The General Services Administration and the Office of Management and Budget are collecting more data to put into the new Prices Paid portal. That portal lists prices without giving any information on terms and conditions of the contract, market conditions, or commitment requirements. Roger Waldron's president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And he is, Roger, I guess if I called you a little skeptical of the Prices Paid portal, at least as we know it so far, that would be accurate, wouldn't it, my friend? Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Francis, and happy holidays. Yeah, I guess the skeptical is the right word. The question is, what information is in that Prices Paid portal? To the extent it's just price alone, that's incomplete data. You have to be able to understand terms and conditions, review and understand terms and conditions, volume commitments, market and economic conditions to be able to understand pricing in terms of what's, the prices that are going to go into the Prices Paid portal. In order to make informed decisions about acquisition strategies. And the concern in industry is several fold. First of all, the government in many instances is collecting the data from the contractors, and data is not a free good. It costs money to actually to collect it and report it, and oftentimes agencies have different formats that they want. That all costs money. And to the extent, again, that industry is concerned that all that's being collected is pricing information, and that can lead to, what I've written about, a low price regardless model that focuses on price to the exclusion of all the drivers that lead to the ultimate price that the government will pay.
I like the low price regardless name. I have called it in the past lowest price no matter what. It's the same idea. And you write, the experiences with FSSI, the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, and GSA regarding the Prices Paid data is that of an agency seeking to drive down prices at all cost. And you introduce, again, the idea of the low price regardless model in this piece that you're writing for Federal Times. Give me some examples of how that's being used in, for example, you referenced the multiple award schedules to drive prices down there.
It's interesting, the GSA is, I think it's in response to criticism regarding the scheduled contract pricing, which I think is a red herring in large part. People understand how the schedules work. It's a commercial marketplace that brings companies and government together to transact business, and, much of the, and there's boatloads of competition at the order level. People need to focus on how to improve that competition, then worry about trying to drive down contract prices to the lowest possible number, regardless of terms and conditions. But the way that we are hearing and seeing it, this low price regardless model work is contracting officers comparing, one price to that's being proposed to a price over under a completely different transaction with differing terms and conditions. We've even seen prices paid, prices proposed at the contract level being compared to prices at the task order level or under BPAs. And there's a huge fundamental difference between a task order price and a task order price or BPA price and the ultimate contract price. You got to understand the schedules are a contract with a $2,500 guaranteed minimum that then provides the opportunity for companies to compete at the task order level for work. A task order is a competition for a sum certain or a volume commitment or a specific order that could be, $200,000. It could be $500,000. It could be $1 million. And companies, react to that competition. They price to win that competition, and that's a different transaction fundamentally than the award of the IDIQ contract at the contract level. And I would submit that's true of most IDIQ contracts that are multiple award. The pricing, the ultimate price the government paid is driven by competition at the order level for agency-specific requirements. And just frankly, the scheduled contracts at the contract level are not requirements contracts. They're not contracts for a specific, specific large amount. They're an opportunity to compete. So, and we have heard. I can tell you, this blog has gotten. I've got more feedback from across the industry on this blog in terms of thank you for writing it. It's an issue that should be addressed. Companies talking about being compared to all kinds of contracts outside the scope of the GSA schedules, to task order pricing, and even situations where, as I mentioned in the blog, where companies are being asked to lower pricing, and their prices for a quantity of 10, let's say, are being compared to the same item for a quantity of 5. So they're not even getting the unit of issue right. Now, I think a lot. I mean, I understand and I appreciate GSA's position and where they are in terms of trying to respond to their critics about that pricing. But at the same time, I think there's an opportunity to better explain the schedules model, how it works, how it's designed to drive competition at the order level. The electronic systems, the transparency of the pricing when the contracts are awarded, it creates a fundamental marketplace where you can get great deals at the order level. But to try to essentially short-circuit that by going to a model that says, I'm going to get the lowest price regardless of any other terms conditions that are on some other contract that I'm going to use for comparison purposes, I think it's short-sighted in the long run.
Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement writing about the low price regardless contracting model in the Federal Times. We have a link to what you wrote at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, Roger. Certainly you understand the goal that GSA is going for here. They want to be able to provide some kind of business intelligence to the agencies to help them understand what people are paying for. They want some transparency in what agencies are paying for various things. Is there a way to do it, to reach that goal? Maybe it's dramatically different than the way they're doing it now or intend to do it in the future, but is there a way to reach that goal that doesn't put the burdens on the companies that you've, as you've described, and that provides that contextual information that you believe is so important?
That's a tough nut to crack, and I appreciate and understand GSA's position. They're trying to provide market intelligence to their customer agencies, and you know GSA is doing a lot of good things. I mean, they are talking to their customers, like in professional services area in particular. They're talking to their customers, and their customers are telling them, you know, we don't just need the price, we need the statement of work for a professional services requirement. We need to understand the terms and have the information about terms and conditions to be able to use that information for our own acquisition strategies, that sort of thing. So, yeah, so in some areas, I think they get it. I think the commodity area or the product area seems to be a little different, where this focus on driving down prices is much more prevalent. To answer your question, I think having a conversation, and I think GSA is actually eager to do this moving forward, having a conversation with industry about, you know, what makes sense in terms of information that companies should report, and actually trying to figure out ways to make it more cost effective for everyone. And I think obviously also there's there should be an effort on the part of the government to try to improve its own management of this information and reporting of the information internally, because frankly, you know, all this information is already in the government's possession, where the price is paid, the statements of work, all that. It's just historically, as someone, I worked for the government 20 years, it's a huge challenge for the government to manage its own information. So it often turns to the private sector through reporting requirements to get that information. I mean, I think, you know, the government should take a second look internally about how it could better manage its own data. I don't have that answer. If we had that answer, we would have solved it 25 years ago. But, I think it's a combination of those things, but I think it's important to have a dialogue with industry about what kind of data makes sense. And also, you know, making sure people understand and are able to analyze that data to the extent it's necessary to do so. The other fear that I think is reflected in the private sector is that the government may be overwhelmed with the amount of data it's going to have, and how effectively it manages that information to make good decisions about acquisition strategies is going to be a huge challenge, because extrapolate or, you know, just grow in terms of the amount of information they have, and that information gets stale over time. The market changes, you know, on a daily basis, especially in the internet world we live in today and the pace of technology change. So So a lot of that data is not going to be relevant. It's not relevant within, you know, months or weeks to the pricing that may be available. That's a long answer to your question. I think one of the keys, too, is actually make it easier to access the commercial marketplace. And I think Ann Rung's memo she issued on December 4th talking about reducing, you know, barriers to entry for commercial firms and addressing commercial item acquisition, that could have a huge benefit in just getting even more dynamic market. And the place where I think it could be accomplished is, you know, in the commercial item program called the GSA Multiple Award Schedule.
Appreciate your insight as always, Roger. Thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Thanks, Francis.